Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, video game dudes, talk to me!
Excellent!
This is Game Genie.
Vocal Woo!
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and, guess what, extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always,
it's Ben Vanel here. And guess what? We're joined, as always,
by me, Adam Knox. And guess what? I also noticed Tommy saying, and guess what?
Trying to mix it up.
I had nothing. So I was glad that you provided even a microscopic little crumb for me to latch onto.
And microscopic it was.
I love putting life under the microscope, though. I reckon that's honestly how you find some of its most interesting quirks.
Adam Knox returning to the Comedy Festival next year.
It's back on.
This should be a part of the news that's just like, you know, a half hour where it's not like specific stories. It's not things that have like happened that they're reporting on. Mm. It's just we're putting life under the microscope.
Okay.
Just have one correspondent who's standing in a corner like, you know what I noticed?
Yeah.
They still print bus timetables.
Yeah, he's
right. Who's using them? Everyone's got a phone. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah.
No longer than that. He's done a deep dive on Wikipedia about the history of bus timetables.
Oh, maybe. If you go
really
onto
takes
the,
you through it.
Onto like the website.
Yeah.
There's all that. But on the news, he's just like the weather. He's in front of a green screen.
No,
still.
See, this is too much like actual news for me. I'm talking about a report.
Well, here's the reason I said it too much like the news is because you said it should be on the news.
It should be on the news, but it's just like we're
but
just
a different show to
but
the
we're
news.
Just talking about the human condition. It's like getting like talking about the bus timetable. It's like, well, then you're talking about like a thing that's happening in the world.
Yeah.
I'm talking about more. It's like, you know, a guy getting to the end of his report and it's like, I guess hurt people really hurt people.
It's more just like it's truly the reasons.
Yeah, it's putting life under the microscope. It's really just like the minutiae
of
how we act and how we treat each other.
I think it would be helpful. I think it would be more helpful if people still watch the news regularly.
Yeah, that's true.
Like we I think anyone younger than us probably doesn't watch like the news.
I see a lot of people on TikTok commenting that they get their news from TikTok.
Right.
Which there isn't news on TikTok.
No.
There's people going like, you know, talking to camera and it is exactly what you're saying as a matter of fact.
Or YouTube, right? Like there's a million YouTube videos that are like, what about this specific concept that we interact with in life?
Like Philip DeFranco. Mm. Oh, actually, I apologize. Philip DeEuro these days.
Thank you.
He's been around for a while. The Comedy Festival's back on.
Well, when I lived alone and I had a kitchen that was like basically right next to the TV.
Oh, yes.
And I would come home from the gym, I'd cook my dinner and I just would have the news on in the background. And that was how I would absorb the events of the day. Then three episodes of Seinfeld would come on back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't even have my TV plugged in. I don't even have an aerial.
Well, that's why you feel this way too, is if you watch the news and Seinfeld back to back, then you're watching Seinfeld,
I guess I was getting that.
You're just talking about when you used to watch TV.
So a bomb went off in Syria. And there's nothing wrong with being gay.
Right. Okay.
Good lesson.
People think that you're gay. You're not.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Seinfeld?
That is putting life under the microscope, isn't it?
Yeah.
I also like nothing.
Because it's true. Because, the ratio there is great. It's like a half hour of world events and then 90 minutes of... Isn't everyone on Earth just fucked in the head at the end of the day?
It's weird to talk to someone from up close. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know how I wish they would do the news?
How?
In state of like play form.
Right. A news showcase.
A news showcase every time.
I mean, that's another good approach.
This
is just
attempting to get us to that,
let's put video games under the microscope.
There's no nightly news bulletin. It's just when they think they've got enough to announce.
Oh, that's good.
They hold a streaming presentation. Like,
you still have your news anchors, you know, introducing each bit.
Yeah, the Al Jazeera state of play.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, it's at 4 a.m. Melbourne time. We got to set an alarm if we want to know what's happening in the world today.
They might reveal a new war. So I like that. I love that idea.
Yeah. The new war has been delayed due to the release of Advance Wars 1 and 2 on Switch.
Right. Yeah.
Well, similar.
Speaking of, that's coming up very soon.
That's tomorrow? Out tomorrow.
Tomorrow our time,
Dead Island's out tomorrow.
Mm. Yes.
Some other people's reviews of those have already gone up and they're both... I wasn't going to play Advance Wars because I've already played those games back in the day, and it seems like they have not changed anything. And Dead Island seems to be the sort of game that I won't like.
Right.
Might still give bad week for you.
Not a good week for me, I tell ya.
Yeah, that Advance Wars re-release, getting some good reviews.
Yeah,
I kind of thought it was going to be a one that would just be like a, you know, it felt like they were just... To me, a little bit maybe phoning it in.
Right.
I mean, I still think they are and those games are good.
Right.
Like that's how it appears to me.
It did look... I watched like, I guess, the launch trailer, bunch of gameplay in it, and it looks fun, but it does look like take off the 720p, you know, like resolution on the Switch, and it is an old game.
I don't think there is literally anything new in there other than some multiplayer modes, actually, like as in having those multiplayer modes online.
Right.
But those are good games, and they're from more than 20 years ago now, so like...
I'll play it. I'll play it tomorrow. It's a good week for me.
Yeah, I started playing the original on my Game Boy Micro that I got about 2 months ago, right before they announced the Game Boy Advance Switch Online stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of tinkered with it a bit and went, oh, this is pretty fun, and then dropped off, and then they finally gave a date to that package. So I was like, all right, I'll wait.
Yeah.
Well, there's a ton of stuff at the moment. Like, so Final Fantasy 16 is around the corner too. They put out a, like, 20-minute long state of play thing about it that I watched some of, and it was giving away too much of a game I knew I wanted to play.
Yeah.
So then I sort of dipped out to go in a little colder at the time because it looks to me great.
I watched the whole thing and I'm going to detail it for you.
Shit.
Right now.
Can't get away from it.
The story modes. No, so I watched it. It's a lot of gameplay and a lot of explanation of like the, you know, leveling, the skills. They're called like icons, but it's basically very similar gameplay style to Final Fantasy VII Remake where you got a bunch of attacks. You like hold down R2 to do like abilities and shit.
Yeah.
And your main character is called Clive.
I love that.
So
Clive is a sick name.
Of the history of Final Fantasy games, we've had like Cloud and Squall and stuff.
Yeah.
Clive is the worst name of all.
Yeah,
it's so bad.
But it's also, vehemently disagree.
Yeah, that sort of makes it the best.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
The one in 4 is called like Freddy or something. It's not Freddy, but it is. I think it's more similar to Clive than Cloud.
Right.
There have been a few just like, yeah, here's Bob fucking killing a dragon.
It's like back in the day, you would have seen a name like this in a game like this and sort of thought, this is so insulting. They've just like, they've westernized it for us here.
Sure,
I bet he's got some really cool name in the Japanese version. But now it's like, there's no barriers. Yeah, and you know, we just know
there's
for
probably
a fact,
couple
like,
Barrys in there.
Huh?
Well, if they've got a Clive, they might have a Barry.
Well, this is what I mean. It's like, now we just know.
He's not on board.
I'm not on board.
It sounds
at all.
Like barrier. It sounded like you said there's no barriers.
Sure.
The Comedy
Remember
Festival
the thing you
is
said?
Officially back on.
It's almost over by the time this comes out.
Not for me.
Everything good's
just cranking up.
Everything good sold out.
Vietnam never ended as far as I'm concerned.
You could have also done, there will be a bunch of barriers in the game because that's one of the spells in Final Fantasy. Barrier spell.
It's a lot more action-y than 7, even than 7 Remake, which was cranking up from 15, which was cranking up from... Like, they've moved in this direction for almost the last, like, 2 decades.
Sure, yeah.
From 12 onwards, it was sort of getting more and more and more action-y, real-time type of thing.
Yes.
And I am excited for that.
Yeah, me too. I think
it
they're doing...
Devil May Cry-ish.
Yeah, because I played, I think, the last Devil May Cry, and it was great. It's very fluid. It's very, you know, Bayonetta 3 is in the same vein. But I think that I prefer the Final Fantasy version of it. It's a little, like, there's a little bit more tactical stuff to it.
Yeah.
And I think was it 7 remake? You would, was there some kind of slowdown, or maybe that's 15?
No, yeah, you, if you were like picking a spell, it would you know, all go slow motion and
I guess, yeah, it was that in between the old style and the new style, which I like. I like having that ability to stop and slightly, yeah, rejig your approach.
It is cool that they sort of at a point went, you know what, there's enough of these like classic turn-based.
Right.
Like we've certainly put out enough of them. It's, yeah, because it's funny. It's like the other big series being, I guess, Dragon Quest. Mm-hmm. And they're the opposite, where they just,
yes,
like that last one, people really liked it. Cool story, visuals as always great, but the main thing about it was like, this is like the same as these games have always been. It does it. It's the same as every other JRPG in terms of how it plays and how it feels. And I think with that series, people are kind of begging for them to do just do something to mix it up. Whereas the Final Fantasy games they make now, they bear very little resemblance in how they played at something like 4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And even, yeah, it is odd that Yakuza seems to have pivoted, at least for the main series, to turn-base. But
it's just cool when things get, freshening up in either direction for whatever game you are, you know. Is
made 9 of these. If you want that old format, it's there.
Well, and even then, by 6, maybe it was 5 that had the, like, active time battle stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so they've sort of been going in this direction always.
Yeah,
you know. So it's not as big of a leap as maybe it at first appears, and it's a leap that I'm in favor of seeing how it works out. Because this game looks sick to me. I am very looking forward to playing.
When is this one?
Like the 2nd of June or something.
Beautiful. Okay.
Everything's around the corner, including The Legend of Zelda. Now let me fucking grit my teeth so I don't say Breath of the Wild by mistake. I'm still writing down Breath of the Wild.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anytime I'm thinking about Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
It did take me a long time because we were referring to it as Breath of the Wild 2
up until
very, very recently.
Well, do you remember they delayed the announcement of the name because the Queen died? Do you remember that?
They had a direct schedule for that week and they said at the start of it, out of respect to the Queen, we're not going to air this live in the UK.
Yes.
Which was pointless anyway because it was like, well, you can just get onto the Nintendo of America YouTube channel and watch it live. The whole video will go up after it's aired live.
Yeah.
So literally just an hour later it'll go up in the UK.
Yes.
And people were like, I mean, that really does seem like overkill for the, like, out of respect to the Queen kind of thing. And then that was the theory, was that, it's because the game is called Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
It's going to make the entire British lose their flipping marbles.
We're already crying. This is adding insult to injury.
It's a game about me. they put out a great trailer for it, I thought. It's like sort of a 3-minute long cinematic trailer that shows a ton of new shit.
Yes.
It rules.
All of which looked great to me.
Yeah. Came out of nowhere. I really thought after that, like, deep dive that we talked about like 3 weeks ago where they went, here's Onuma just playing it, and they were so guarded about what they showed. They showed a couple of mechanics, but they really did keep it pretty held back.
Yeah. All they showed that was new was the building a little buggy, right?
Yeah. It was all your powers, but it was like, it was quite dry as well. Mm. Like it was very design doc feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't exciting, but it was like, oh, those are interesting. I want to see how those powers end up getting used. But
he was like, you know, just kind of playing long stretches of it. Mm-hmm. And that was like, that looks, all the interface, it all looks and feels exactly the same as Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
And I felt like, and I think I said this at the time, it's like, oh, they're just going to, that's it. They're just going to, they want everyone to just go in completely cold.
Right.
They're not going to show us anything about this game. And so it just kind of made the impact of this so cool, where it was like 6 years of knowing really nothing about this other than like it's the same map and there's some shit in the sky now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just have this thing where they just over, like, just cram this 3 minutes with like so many neat little, like, I've had to watch it a few times to just kind of like take in all this stuff that's like, it's showing so much, but then it's also, you still know nothing at the end of it because in terms of how this stuff is all actually functioning and like there's bits that people are speculating and look like they could be back to some sort of classic dungeon-y kind of stuff.
I only watched it once, and I can't really remember it that well. Could you maybe detail 10 things I might have missed?
Well, some little Easter eggs?
Yeah, yeah.
So Link is in it. He's actually from the original game.
You mean Zelda?
I mean both, actually. They're both
back. They're both in it.
Oh, good, good.
They're both in this game.
Because I only saw Zelda, the little guy with the green hat.
Oh, yeah. You've got a lot of Easter eggs to learn about here.
And we just had Easter as well. Fuck. Yeah.
But you do get to name your character at the start of the game. So you could get in there and call him...
Gordo?
Zelda.
Oh, Zelda. Okay.
If you did that in all caps on A Link's Awakening on the Game Boy, it would play a little flamenco version of the Zelda theme.
Oh!
It was really cool. I genuinely used to do that and sit there and listen to it on my Game Boy for ages.
Give it a crack on Tears of the Kingdom,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. The idea of listening to that shitty little Game Boy speaker and going, now this is obviously in the style of flamenco.
You could hear it because it would start with ba 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 da ba ba da ba da ba da, and that was, I loved the music in this one, like the sort of tone and vibe that it had was such a cool, like, oh, it's big Zelda music, but also with this like sort of weird twist to it,
right?
All of the bits of like. There's a ton in it, but like all the little sort of abilities or items or whatever it is that suddenly you use, like this rocket that he's jumping up and these cool blue orbs that are floating in the air that
you can jump into, this
Mission Impossible laser thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I like this vibe of like it's kind of that map but a bit like it's techie. Like him having a little rocket, him having the and just seeing these little grabs and being and then your brain goes to like, oh well, I wonder what's like the practical application of that in the world. So he's got a little thing that takes him straight up. He's got these kind of floating liquidy orb things that he can jump through, almost like the little bits of goo in Celeste that you would use for traversal.
And it's just these like 1 second flashes of everything. There's a ton in the trailer.
There's like a big Death Star looking thing kind of floating and rotating around that he's gliding into, and then
I missed that.
These pretty big looking like underground caverny areas pretty expansive and
I was
different to anything in the main little DK minecart sort of action.
Yeah, I think maybe those underground bits might be like in the volcano or something.
Cool.
So there's a ton of shit, and
it was also presented like in a really exciting, like thrilling way. I feel like, I think I said this in our chat or maybe the Discord, like if this was the first trailer, then I would have been, this would have been like the most anticipated game like ever, you know.
This is the first trailer that looked like a trailer. All the other ones, I've said this the whole way through, like everything they've released has seemed a bit like it's been done under duress of like they're not really ready to show it off yet, and they don't really know what to show off, and it's been they're a little sort of like weird snatches of stuff. But yeah, this was like, hey, yeah, this is what the goddamn game is.
Ganondorf's back.
Mm-hmm.
The voice actor is Matt Mercer, and he has nailed the Ganondorf scream. It sounded exactly like the little soundbite you got in Ocarina of Time when he goes at you. That one little bit was like, oh, cool. You probably worked real hard on that or played that game a ton when you were kid.
I think there might even be more they're holding back. I feel like,
of course,
sure. They're emphasizing the sky stuff, and they've given a hint of underground stuff. I feel like we're going to find out it's like equal sky and underground or something. Like that would be the kind of thing that they would, you know,
hold back as
a huge surprise.
There's a bunch of stuff in there that's like maybe too accurate speculation, I think, for me to want to say it for people who are like kind of trying to go in cold. Because there's stuff, I think it's going to be cool. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
This video game, it's going
to
be cool.
The sequel to one of my favorite games might fucking be good.
Yeah.
And it looks, I agree that this trailer was the first time where I properly went, oh, right.
Yeah.
Of course, this is a new Zelda game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same for me. It really kicked me into gear of like, I was not skeptical, but just a bit like, we hadn't really seen anything to make us go, it's the same map with some shit in the sky. It's like, no, this is going to be, like a whole new game.
Yeah.
And I think I've been a little like skeptical and worried about how it's going to run. It's looking good. I went back and played a bit of Breath of the Wild during the week, which in my head I've always kind of felt like, man, that ran really badly. Mm. And it did have some choppy bits, but like just playing it again this week, I'm like, man, this looks beautiful. And this is also technically not really designed as a Switch game. It's like a bumped up Wii U game. So like,
where it ran kind of worse as well.
Yeah.
Right.
I played the Wii U version initially. Mm. Right. And the same areas of like Kakariko Village and in the like the Lost Woods and shit. But I'm, so excited for this. That trailer is very well made. I hope that there's more music in this one. I really enjoyed the sort of like saxophony versions of all the saxophony.
Thank you.
versions of like the main theme and stuff. If it's got a bit more of that, there's like cool like battlefield looking thing. It just looks great.
It looks like there's kind of more action and more sort of beats of things happening. Which
maybe
this is
pieces.
Just my memory playing tricks on me a bit, but. I don't really remember all that much of that from Breath of the Wild. Like, what I remember of Breath of the Wild is just walking around and just discovering a little valley and climbing a big mountain. Like, I don't really, like, it wasn't until really thinking about it this week of like, oh, yeah, there were those divine beasts that are kind of like dungeons. And
before you went into them, you'd have, like, the action sequence that was to sort of disable it a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it had a bit, but it just looks like it's cranking everything up about one of the best games that's ever been made.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and the amount of, you know, they show a lot more locations that you recognize from the main game, the first game, but they really do look significantly changed to a point where I think that sense of exploration will not be the same as it was in the first one, but will be like going back and revisiting everyone and seeing all these new places, and there's enough new stuff like fucking teleported in there or whatever.
Yeah.
That,
well, I think what's interesting about it and like is the way that Breath of the Wild kind of really changed up the open world game so much by just going, hey, it's not like you talk to a guy minute one and he's like, go here, and then there's all the objectives on the map. It's like you set this out for yourself. And that was like a big kind of, a real game changer that you saw the echoes of through other games that came out afterwards. And then with this, it seems really like an interesting challenge that they've set for themselves of like, how do we make something that's kind of revolutionary and unique and interesting in the same way? And the answer to that is set yourself the challenge of just literally having the same map and making that interesting. Like, has that really happened before where it's just like, here's the exact same landmass, but we've found a way to fuck with it and make it compelling even though you are, for all intents and purposes, going around the same area.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's ever made it compelling.
Yeah.
But, like, those PSP Grand Theft Auto games used Liberty City and Vice City from
the PS3 But surely a bit ones. Of the novelty of that would have been like, hey, you can play this
And it was,
handheld.
Like, a different era.
Yeah.
So, like, shops would be different. You know, stuff would look a bit different and the radio is different. And that was kind of cool at the time. It was definitely not of the same scale that this appears to be. Mm. But it can be a really cool feeling. And, just, like, I am weirdly more interested in like seeing him the bit in the trailer with the big sort of block fridge looking thing that you're riding on that's like walking towards one of those what do you call them, the big golem things.
Yeah.
Building stuff might be fun in this.
Yeah.
I normally don't find it to be that exciting in most games.
Yeah. I feel like how I felt after that deep dive one was a bit more like, well, what's the point of all of this? Like, this looks interesting, but if I don't have an impetus to use it, I probably won't. But this trailer was a bit more like, hey, this is as basic as the storyline is. It's like, this is the reason that you're fighting. This is the reason that you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
There'll be a point for you to follow. You know, there'll be a star in the sky for you to follow.
And I liked those characters in the first one. Yeah. You know, like they're back. They're hanging around. The direct Zelda sequel thing has been done before, but not in a way like this where it really looks to be picking up right afterwards. It's cool looking.
Yeah.
Call me too insightful if you must.
I feel like probably because it's like kind of on the same hardware and because it was like the best game ever. They're probably a bit happier to be like, no, let's stick in the exact same world here and just make it better and like you say, challenge ourselves to refresh this, which I think is going to be maybe even more fun than just a new landmass, is like revisiting these changed locations. And, you know, like it's done sometimes in games where there'll be like a world-changing event you know, and you go back to the old towns that you were in the first half of the game, and you're all different, and people are dead, and shops are, you know, crushed or whatever. But yeah, I think this will be, like, specifically a good move. I think
in,
it'll be fun.
Yeah. In the same way that, like, Breath of the Wild being like, oh, it's open world Zelda, I think our sort of hesitation to embrace that before the full game came out was partly because your brain goes to also like Far Cry Zelda, like is this Assassin's Creed Zelda? I don't know if I want that. And then they're like, no, we're way better at making games than that. And this
we're
is
gonna
like,
make those games look shitty and fucking cheap ass games in comparison now.
And if it's the same level of like sort of unique and original version of doing the like revamped world sequel thing. Yeah, you're looking at a real good game.
A real 11
Again,
out of
I'm
10.
So sorry to be giving you these really
mind-blowing
just cutting commentary, but
yeah,
it's out in like 3 weeks. We'll talk about it for 3 weeks after that, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Breath of the Wild, we fucking still are talking about.
So, and with good reason.
Yeah.
Like I picked it up again during the week. I've got my save there that's got all my little little bits of side things that I never got around to doing. It like in those games I tend to be very like, you run into someone, they're like, God, I'd love some meat, and I'm like, yeah, cool. Cool story,
good for you.
It's a real shame.
I'd love some fucking fun shit to do.
Yeah, so I'm on the way to save the world, so
I'm just kind of going through and picking all of them off, and it's like, dude, it's been 6 years. You haven't been able to find anyone else to get you this meat.
Fuck, that's sad.
All right, I'll do it, I'll go. And just like, yeah, picking off all the little, just using it as an excuse to just, yeah, cruise around. And it's like, it just all, it just still, it's like, yeah, 6 years is a long time. And I mean, yeah, it doesn't feel dated at all. Like, yeah, and no, you know, you can tell from the fact that they're using what looks to be almost an identical interface and everything in this one.
The interface in, actually, I think it's the battle screen of Final Fantasy 16 is maybe the only thing I didn't like about that trailer.
Right.
Because the font is like very like Final Fantasy 13, like mid-2000s sci-fi game. It looked like anachronistic. The menus are like nice, you know, serif font and like very medieval. And
I
then
know
the,
what you mean.
The battle interface is like
back of the cover of the DVD of iRobot.
Exactly.
Of stuff.
Or like Mass Effect 1 or something. You know, it just felt very low rent, just like a bad choice, as opposed to Breath of the Wild's interface from 2016 or whatever, where it was like perfect,
really simple,
clean and stylish.
The fake medieval computer that you've got,
right?
You know, it worked in that. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's
isn't that people's issue with the pixel remasters too? People hate the fonts in that.
Oh, really?
They've redone the fonts for the that just came out on PS4 and the Switch, and they've added in they had these fucking shit to me looking. Just sort of aerial looking fonts that didn't fit, because the whole thing was that it's the pixel remaster of it. It's doing a remaster, but like they had those mobile ones that were like with the really smooth, shitty looking sprites and stuff.
Yes.
I hated them.
Yeah.
And it was like the big, chunky, proper looking pixel sprites, but then this aerial font, they've added in a more pixelated looking
font. That's cool.
That's good.
Which genuinely made me go like, oh, maybe I'll pick these up.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is
they're
so
coming
common.
Back to the PC version at some point, but aren't there now at the launch of this one. Some weird shit like that.
That's such a classic thing in indie games that go for the pixel art style, where it looks beautiful and then bit of text comes up and it's like, now why is this the font?
Yeah.
This just breaks all of it. This looks so wrong.
And some people don't care. Like you see, you know, if people are talking about it, people going, oh, fuck this font, I'm mad, I'm going to write a letter in this font to them saying I hate them.
Yeah.
And then other people being like, it's a font. Shut up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But which like,
Golf
sure,
Story
but
had a bastard of a font in it that I could, was just so jarring to me. Mm. Like it just popped up and it was like, this looks wrong.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk jarring. It was something you could do to your head in the game Elden Ring. You could put a jar on it.
Okay.
And due to that,
if you liked it, then you should have put a jar on it. It's my contribution.
Because of
that's my contribution.
Because of his work in the right jar in space.
If you liked it.
Hidetaka Miyazaki has been named one of the 100 most influential people by Time magazine. He's the developer or like the
creative director
of FromSoft, specifically for the Souls games and the Elden Ring game that came out last year.
Bloodborne. It's also one of them.
That's my contribution.
Neil Druckmann wrote a little thing about him in Time. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Neil Druckmann's words.
What font?
Times New Roman?
Yeah.
I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a classic.
First time I played one of Hidetaka Miyazaki's games, I was miserable. Were you, Neil Druckmann? Were you feeling a bit miserable about something you wrote? I kept dying on the first enemy over and over again, but when I slowed down my approach, paying attention to the details, it all of a sudden clicked. I managed to defeat the enemy in advance further into the game. I earned my progress. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I thought it'd be more interesting than this, but it's crazy to me that...
It's great!
Imagine going back to like Demon Souls days and being like, this guy in 14 years is going to be one of the most influential people in the world. And out of any video game person kind of currently working, he deserves it.
Yeah.
Those games have had a massive influence on how all games are made now.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like a point of... They've become... The title of the series has become like a shorthand for, like, even just in like a Donkey Kong game being a bit hard.
Right.
Go, oh, this is very Souls-like, isn't it?
It's like, Doom
not really. It's just
era.
Difficulty. Yeah.
He's fully changed how stuff works.
I'm trying to find any other video games people on this list. I haven't so far.
I don't think there are from this year.
Right.
I'm sure that at some point, like, historically, you'd have a Miyamoto on there.
That's what I was wondering.
You'd have a Kojima on there probably at some point.
Yeah.
And Miyazaki is up in that fucking echelon for
sure.
Yeah. And it's really cool to me. Like, it's so strange having to adjust from... And it's been years and years that this has been the case. And Dark Souls 1 was massive, which is why... They are so influential. But having to, like, you know, the thing of when you're like, yeah, only I know about this.
Yeah.
Right,
it's me and a few weirdos who know the truth about what good games are. That's not the case. It's the most popular game in the world.
Yeah. Which is great that, it's evolved from being a little known but influential thing within the industry to, like, one of the best-selling games of the last 12 months.
It's crazy to have something be so big in spite of the fact that it is so difficult to play. Something like Mario, you go, well, yeah, anyone can pick this up and figure it out.
Totally.
For something to go that massive in spite of the fact that you have to be pretty deep into games, you have to really know what you're doing. It's like, I mean, Animal Crossing being huge is like, okay, well, that's like your daughter can play it, your nan can play it, and, hey, maybe they're playing Elden Ring too.
That's the thing. It's like you could suck at every other kind of game, but only be good at From Software games because they are such a specific.
And that's part of it. I think that's part of what Neil Druckmann was taking too long to try and say was that if you listen to what it's trying to ask you to do, they're not crazy.
Right.
They're not like old fashioned arcade style hardware. They're working against you deliberately. They just they're teaching you.
They have a set of rules. It's like chess or something. It's like, well, learn the rules and you can at least play it. And if you want to get really good,
listen to what the universe is telling you and then you will be rewarded. That's what I think.
Wow.
That's your contribution.
Sorry to, again, be too insightful today.
Well, you know, if you want to be rewarded with a big discount and free shipping.
That is like a reward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you should check out the fine folks at Manscaped. They're supporting us, as always. They're our longest and strongest supporter.
And if you want to deal with your longest and strongest body part, then go get something for your legs. Manscaped will be able to shave your more sensitive regions any region very well. They make really high-quality products that do the job exactly as you would want it done.
Boys, we're in fresh ball fall. I just remembered that piece of copy.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It is. I love autumn. It's my favorite season of
clean
all the seasons.
Clean scrotum autumn.
You autumn keep your balls trimmed.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to, not that you have to, but if you want to, go to manscaped.com. Yeah, I suggest that you do.
If you're looking for something to do this job, Manscaped is the thing to look at.
That's right. I famously use it on my face as a beard trimmer.
Everyone's talking about it. Times 99th most influential person.
That's the story that's crossing over from the news into just the microscope on life section right at the end.
Yes, yeah.
A full report.
This man uses, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do. It's a great beard trimmer. Mm-hmm. It's a life hack.
Mm.
It's the best beard trimmer I've ever owned, and yep. It is made to shave your body.
They've got the, now what is it called? Not the whipper snipper.
The
Weed Whacker 2.0 is the most recent thing that they've made that is for nose and ear stuff.
Yeah.
I tell you what, they're important areas to get at.
Yeah.
That's right.
You could take your eyelashes off if you wanted to. Don't. Don't do that. That's
if
not from them.
If your mate was passed out at a party and you wanted to prank him real good. I took the Weed Whacker for a spin.
Yes.
The other day. And man, you know, it's such a cliche to talk about, but as you get older, my God, there's a lot of shit up there in there. It's just overgrown.
Yeah.
It's disgusting, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Just weeds thinking I'm grow in little... only the healthiest gardens.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
The soil. It's rich soil.
Exactly.
But
you should stop shoving all that dirt up your nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it won't help with that, but it will help with hair.
Yeah.
Mm.
You go to manscaped.com. You choose what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in your cart. You go to your checkout.
Yeah.
You add promo code FILTHY.
Yep.
And you get yourself 20% off and you get free shipping.
Ooh, that's
the reward
hell of a
we
deal.
Were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
If you want to be rewarded with security, privacy, and the ability to travel the globe from the comfort of your own ass, please also think of looking at nordvpn.com/filthy.
Yeah.
Where you'll be able to get NordVPN, which for our paid advertising money is the best VPN going around, but I also think that.
Yep.
And you get a big discount and you get 4 months free.
You get 4 months free. I think it's if you sign up for 2 years, which also gets you the best discount.
Right.
It's the best value offer.
And it's one of those things where, like, it's a useful tool that you should have.
You're never going to not need it.
Yeah.
They're great. They're simple to use. You chuck them on any device, basically, and it'll pretty smoothly get you going. NordVPN.com/...
Yeah, forward slash.
Only one, though. I've said slash twice. NordVPN.com.
Mm-hmm.
Which type of slash?
Forward slash.
Correct.
Motley Crue style.
Filthy.
Like,
no.
No.
I don't think.
One slash.
That's Guns N'
Roses.
That's
Guns N' Roses.
Fuck. I'm really tired today.
Or what's
I think
that?
We all are.
Yeah.
We're all really steaming through this one valiantly.
Velvet Something's... Revolver was the other band with slash in it.
Sure.
And the guy from fucking...
Yeah.
Not Soundgarden. The other one.
Them Crooked Vultures.
No, that's...
That was another super group thing.
Maybe fucking... Jane's Addiction, I think maybe the Jane's Addiction guy might have been in that. There's only one slash. However...
Anyway, NordVPN.com.
That's right.
Axl Rose, Filthy.
Yes.
And you get yourself that discount and a good product.
Yeah.
Speaking of good product.
Okay.
Yeah, not our brains today.
No.
Something's going on. Something's in
honestly,
the air.
Yeah, there's something in... We're all drinking Ben's water here at his house. Maybe he's fucking poisoned us.
Except me.
Ben. Yeah. Fuck, we should have thought that was suspicious.
But I also don't feel great.
Munchausen by potty.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, Munchausen by proxy.
What are you
doing? Like something...
Well,
you know,
we all were just out late
sick.
Last night.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We're trying our best here. And hey, you know what?
Kept me up. We're trying to transition the dog into sleeping in our room, and he's...
Oh, sure.
It's not working out.
Why are you doing it then?
Yeah.
Well, we just thought it'd be nice. Like, the goal is eventually...
Sounds like you're keeping your dog up.
Yeah.
Your dog's trying to go to sleep, and he's getting yanked up and pulled into your bed.
No, we moved his little cage into our room from the kitchen.
Okay.
And
okay.
The goal was eventually have his little bed in the corner of the room, and then he just sleeps in our room in his little bed. So
eventually,
you know, you have the cage, then you just like leave the door open, and then eventually you take the cage away, and then the bed's just there. That's what you're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what is actually happening is...
That's what you're told to do by Big Cage, though.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't need the cage. Let dogs roam free, dude.
Well, no, because eventually we're getting rid of... The idea is
let
to
him out of the house.
Get rid of the cage.
Let him go wherever he wants.
Yeah.
He's
let him get run over by a car.
It's
character building. It's the dog. Yeah. He what he's doing is he's going in there. Well, yeah, for a point he was going in there and it was kind of working,
mm-hmm.
but he would kind of wake us up pretty early. Because he'd get up and, you know, he can see us there. And he's like, well, I want in on this. So he's right. like tapping on the cage.
Right.
And that's kind of fine. But
he's
then
wrapping his little tin cup
literally,
along
yes.
the prison
play
bus.
Play his harmonica. Who let the dogs out? I couldn't figure out how to make it sound like a harmonica was doing yeah. who let the dogs. Oh, wait. Who let the dogs out?
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a harmonica still.
No.
What's in this fucking waterbed?
It's full of vitamins
mm.
and
it shouldn't
fluoride
be.
And other chemicals.
Anyway, last night, putting him in the cage and he's just having a sook from the first minute.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have to go back into the kitchen.
Well,
I can't live like this. Yeah. I've got podcasting to do. Yeah. I actually said that to him in frustration at one point. I was like, shut up. Daddy's got a podcast in the morning.
Well, part of what QP should have known you would be talking about today
yes.
was the fact that you and I have both been playing, is it Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores?
That's yeah. a great question.
Just Horizon Burning Shores.
I have a I feeling know. It's just Horizon Burning Shores, but it's impossible
so
to access without having
yeah.
Forbidden West.
It's DLC
so...
for Forbidden West, and it's impossible to access without a PS5 as well.
That's true.
Oh, yeah,
this is the one
yeah.
that is just on the PS5 version of Horizon Forbidden West. It's new DLC where you head on down. I think Lance Reddick's like final performance too.
I was thinking that too. Yeah, it must be one of the first thing, one of the final things he. Oh, maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's like a
there might be some
movie
Destiny
or something
stuff
that's in
as
the
well.
Clan,
or, right?
Clan can.
Get some sleep next time.
Yeah. yeah.
Just so you guys know, it is called officially Horizon Forbidden West : Burning Shores.
Okay. So just Horizon Forbidden West, one word?
No.
Two colons in there.
No, one colon. Horizon space Forbidden space West : Burning space Shores.
They've deleted the colon that used to be before.
Yeah. Two slashes?
What is this? Double Velvet Motley- Underground or whatever?
was it Horizon : Forbidden West?
Surely. Anyway.
I bet. Let's
a terrible
out.
Name and they've somehow made it worse.
I'm going to say
no
the same thing
the
I said
name.
When I failed my entrance exam to become a proctologist. I don't care about colons.
There's no colon in Horizon Forbidden West.
Okay.
Okay. They've put out this DLC. You're in L.A.,
You're
flown
LA.
Down the coast.
You have to...
Sin City.
Do you have to have basically...
No, that's Vegas. We've all got to just reset now, okay? Everyone take a moment. Breathe. Okay, here we go.
I held my breath.
Perfect. You fucked it.
You do go to Vegas in Forbidden West, right?
Yeah, you do. You go... It's all like sort of Northern California in that area. You're going to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Vegas is in Forbidden West and you're down in LA, La La Land mm-hmm. here.
And this is like you have to have
City
basically, I think, finished... maybe not quite finished,
you have to
but...
have done the last mission. You have to have finished the game.
Right,
yeah.
right.
And then you'll just get this call from Silence. It'll be like, there's some new content down south. And you fly down there and just immediately fucking meet someone new and just like...
Yeah. Now, Aloy, before you head off, I have to ask, do you have a PS5? Because if you don't, do not bother coming down here.
The Hollywood sign is huge. We couldn't render it on the PS4.
The clouds are too... That's literally the reason they said... We never talked about this, but in the couple of weeks before it coming out, they were like, yeah, the reason... that it's a PS5 exclusive, literally the clouds.
Wow.
And I was like, not really what I want to hear. What I want to hear the reason for it being is high detailed textures. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm. Like, yeah.
Oh, the clouds look beautiful, do they?
It was already a great looking game and this one looks good. The clouds, I haven't honestly noticed anything in particular with them. I didn't know it was them and they haven't really... come across my desk, but
what about the like towns and shit, like all of that?
It's all good looking. It's stuff as the main game.
Yeah,
it's coastal and beachy, which I kind of always think those areas in a game that are technically impressive mm-hmm. are always like the standouts to me. Like the bit where you go to the little seaside part in Forbidden West was my favorite bit, and
the
bit
water
that I
looks beautiful,
the best, and so to sort of. Just base this all in that kind of area is like, great. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, it's like LA is underwater, a lot of it. A volcano has erupted.
Ooh.
Nearby, there's some cool lava and shit. And I've never been to LA, but it's cool recognizing parts of it from like GTA 5.
Right, right.
And shit like that.
And movies, yeah, yeah.
The first thing
there's
you do
that
is...
big sort of weird shaped spiky building with the mm-hmm. like... decahedral or whatever kind of shape, like all that stuff is there. You're in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the first thing you do is like, yeah, there's this big tower that kind of shoots you down as you turn up. So you right. you go on a little trek, you see a new little creatures on your little on your walk there, and then you're scaling this building. It's like it's really getting you into some, because I felt like Forbidden West, and obviously that's a full game and this is DLC, but that took a little while to sort of get you into it.
Yeah,
but
I never got into it. Yeah.
Well, that sort of valley area at the start is quite long and maybe the least interesting part of that game.
Mm.
And this is straight away, almost in a ham-fisted way, where you crash land and immediately it's like, hey, I'm the new main character to follow during this.
Right.
Hello.
Mm. Yeah, immediately. That
here's a quest.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't really stick out to me, honestly, because that is just... such a trope of DLC. It's like,
sure.
right. even down to the thing of like this game where you are traveling over this map, and even like when Lance Reddick's character gives you the little call, it's like the little icon comes up on the map, you know, like make your way over there. And then it's like, I need you to go to LA. Okay, now here I am in LA. You know, it's right. just like the hard cut of like, wait, so we're not.
Mm.
I mean, traversal is traveling is kind of everything in this kind of game, and now I'm just right. randomly there in this other map.
And then you go look at the map though, and like it's just a new circle down the bottom of the regular map. It's
right.
probably about a quarter of the size of mm-hmm. the main thing, just landmass wise. I don't know how much stuff is in there because yeah, only still pretty early on in it. But it and you're right, like it is just an open world game thing of like everyone you meet is like, dude. I'll tell you everything about what's going on with me.
Right.
I did, yeah, I kind of, it does take a little, and I'm glad that I only played Forbidden West, like I finished it at the start of January, so it's still, because I think we said at the time when we reviewed it, it's like, it just there's so many little systems, and it wasn't too tough to get back into the like, oh, that's right, that's how I changed to the arrows and stuff. Because right. I do sort of find it a bit unintuitive at times, like the way all the different wheels work and the all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad to have it relatively fresh in my mind. But yeah, it's throwing you right back in there.
Yep.
You're doing your combating your big beasties.
When you I can't remember if they put out like a little trailer that was like how to prepare for Burning Shores, and it was like go back in the game and practice the controls again.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
that's what I was going to say. I forgot, like the thing I did forget, and it's taken me a little bit to click back in with this. The incredibly earnest tone of this game,
right.
I do find takes a little bit to sort of gel with, and I think that's right because I'd finished it off the back of us talking about there was like a long run of stuff with writing in it that we didn't particularly like in the way that it was like kind of mm-hmm. sassy or whatever. and then playing through all of this, I was a bit like, just a little more.
Just someone say he's not going to be in Rush Hour 3.
Or just a bit of like, this is big dumb anime bullshit, but treated as if it is the most like earnest, like Terrence Malick film.
Right, right. Like,
it can be a little dull even. I do find myself kind of drifting off mentally when I'm going through all of like the, you know, the Mass Effect circle of dialogue choices.
Right.
I do them all, and then a lot of the backstory they give me is like, wow, oh, who are the fucking Quen? What do you do?
She's right. also like her magic. Performance okay. as a character. Like I do like it, but she is very like held back and softly spoken. So it does mean that like, a lot of it does pass me by because she's not really being very dynamic with it, you know? And I don't think that's a fault or anything. That's not a knock, but
it's
just does.
It's just the character type.
I just do, yeah, as soon as a cutscene starts, like my brain goes, yeah, this is zone out time.
I think it's good, but it's dry.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
and
I had that with the first game as well. And yeah, what I played of Forbidden West, where the plot is interesting, but the characters and the dialogue isn't.
I think the world is sometimes great. And there are moments where the characters are good, especially in the first one, like the hologram people I liked.
Yes.
And so it's generally the modern day in the game, modern day, the current alive in the present of the game people who are a little more like, especially when it's like, when you know they're wrong about the world and they're like, oh, we need to do this because of the old laws. And you're like, they're fucking fake.
Yeah, idiot.
I want to go around fucking.
Guy.
Yeah.
There's a really rough bit.
Read the God delusion to them and shit.
There's a rough bit in this where they're like, they're talking about, like Lance Reddick's character is like, oh, he was written about in these, in the tabloids back in the day. And she's like, what's a tabloid? Well, it was a piece of news that was just reporting on famous people and their lives and what they were doing. And it's like, and this is just literally you still in the old games map sitting through this to get to the DLC. It's like, just load it up, please. I've paid for it. I had to reinstall the game. Mm-hmm. I had to install the DLC. I had to install an update file. Ugh. Just let me pick this bastard from the main menu and get into it.
We're being whingy here, but I don't know what, because it's also
it's good. Great. It's great. Like, yeah, I'm loving being back in that world. Like the combat of just like, it is so fun, and it like, I don't feel like enough gets made about how it kind of almost is this sort of like Monster Hunter approach. Like, it's so satisfying scanning the thing and like the monster and get, you know, aiming for the little canisters on its back. It is such an interesting approach to combat, especially in this style of game, that just feels so rewarding and so dynamic. And a lot of times it's like, hey, you know, if you look for the little weak part, it's going to do a bit more damage. But if you've got a powerful enough weapon, it's like, whatever, you can just blindly. But this is like, if something's shooting poison at you, it's like it is going to take you out. So you do need to take the time to do the scan and actually take that thing off it so that you then have a better chance. It's so well done.
It's really good.
Just seeing one of those fucking, just blowing the canister off its ass and the whole thing just coming out and blowing up is like, yes!
It looks great and it feels great still, and the new robots that I've seen so far are cool.
Yeah.
The one being this big frog who's like the first one you fight, but he's a big fucking frog.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and then there's like one that you come across that's like a kind of a cougary kind of thing, or like like, oh yeah, we're in LA. Yeah.
It's a really good time still. Very telling that it's like, you should have finished the main game before going into this, in the sense that this is for people who really liked that game already.
Yeah.
And it is more of that.
It's not a weird twist or anything.
It's not some separate thing where maybe people will like that. You know, there were like, the one that comes to mind is like Minerva's Den for Bioshock 2, where it's like, oh, you don't even really need to have given a shit about the... This is exclusively for people who are super into Forbidden West, which I was.
It's a mini sequel.
You're climbing up a really tall thing and getting a beautiful view of the world. And it's kind of just zeroed in on the sort of environment that was the environment that I was most into in the in any kind of big open world thing. Like, I'm not as hot on like snow and desert in terms of like visually, but like when you're getting into a jungle or you're around the beach, it's like, God damn, this looks amazing. And this is just like hitting that button.
I'm liking it. It's a fun time. I don't have any idea how long it is.
Yeah. Right.
Based on the size of just the map, it's about a fifth of what you were looking at in the main map.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also been nice to go back in and have all those question marks over the main map still and be like, maybe I'll go fucking wrap up some more regular Horizon stuff after this too.
Between 8 and 10 hours.
Well, there you go. That's about right for a...
That's good for DLC.
Yeah. It's like $30.
Honestly, that's how I would prefer most games to be.
Like, absolutely.
I don't need it to be 45 hours long.
10 is it's the perfect length for a game for me. That's what I want.
Sure.
Unless it's Tears of the Kingdom, in which case
6,000.
I'm gonna send death threats if it's not a billion hours long.
But also, you could probably, based on Breath of the Wild, you could finish the game, like the game's story mode, in like 5 hours.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
8 minutes. People zip through. But the normal one. This is a good game. You already know if you want to play this or not based on if you've played Forbidden West and liked it or not. If you still haven't done that, I recommend Forbidden West still very highly. Like, that dryness of the story that we're talking about, it's sort of a problem, but it also is counterbalanced by this really fascinating world and the designs
yeah.
of everything.
Everything and, also it's just the way it's presented, which I'm sure that I don't think it's like objectively bad. I just find myself zoning out a bit, and I'm sure to some people it's like absolutely their flavor that they want out of
right.
it. So it probably does gel a bit more with some people. Every time we talk about it, we say the same thing, that it's like with both of these games now, very easy to have had them pass you by because they both came out in the shadow of something that was doing a similar thing, but really, 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 really changing it up in ways that, you know, have put them on all-timer lists.
The fact that this one is out just before Tears of the Kingdom
right.
again, yeah.
But with just enough breathing space that it's like 8 to 10 hours, you can knock that off
yes.
in the 4 weeks before Tears of the Kingdom comes out. It's funny thinking about, like, I wonder if Tears of the Kingdom was, like, coming out a few weeks earlier or this was coming out a few weeks later, if they would just be like, that's it.
Yeah.
We're not fucking making games anymore. yeah. Fuck this.
Someone fucking made a witch angry at some point because we're getting fucked every time we do something. We're cursed here. I'll tell you another little thing I've been playing.
Yeah.
On a web browser. It's a Wordle type of game.
A web browser game.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been playing the browser game Contexto.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some sort of, you know, like some kind of, you know, broader...
Hold your breath again. Contexto.me, I think, is the website.
Okay.
As of now, there's like 220 odd of these. And what it is you've got a target word that you're trying to guess.
Okay.
Okay.
I believe it can be any word. They're generally, as words are, nouns, but
right.
you're looking to guess the right word. You've got no prompt, nothing. You just guess whatever word you want. And what this thing has is a ton of texts that it's analyzed and generated through most likely an algorithm or some sort of AI.
Okay. Yeah, I'm worried. I'm scared.
Rankings for how contextually relevant other words are to this target word.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, if the target word is shoe and you type in sock, it's going to be highly contextually relevant and you're going to get like a big green number.
Right.
Okay.
Or a small green number is what you want because one is the target word. And if your word is 10, it's very... Or if you type in drum, it's going to be low context and you'll get 10,000 and rip. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're trying to figure out.
Trying to zero in.
It's hotter or colder with words. And it's really fun.
Yeah, it does sound fun.
It's so enjoyable and it's like that good type of frustrating when you're like, what fucking possible fucking word could this be?
Yep.
Then you get it, you're like, it was clearly that all along.
yeah, great.
Yep.
I'm really enjoying that. And there's like a numbers version of like a similar thing that the New York Times is doing now. That is the other little sort of web game that I've been doing where you've got, it's like countdown. You've got a target number and then you've got six numbers underneath and you can multiply and add them or whatever in any way you want. And I think you're trying to use as many of them as you can to get the highest score, but it doesn't really matter.
Right.
And that's also a good time. I forget what that's called, but Contexto, that's a good time. And I reckon people should jump on it because they're shutting down Hurdle.
Yes,
do
I saw that.
This?
Spotify's doing it, right? Because
they bought it at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So it's
not
the
old
them
buy
like,
and shut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it, folks out there, that's why it's bad for companies to acquire other companies.
Yep.
I think Hurdle was also just kind of bad, though, is the other thing.
Mm.
Because it was either you knew the song or didn't. So whenever I did it, I'd either get it immediately or never.
Yeah,
that's true. It's like, you know, every now and then with Wordle, there'd be an uproar where people are like, that's not a fucking real word.
Right.
But it's
Sleam.
Like,
that's my favorite word, sleam.
More often than not, it's like, oh, yeah, God, it was right there.
Yeah.
I knew it. But yeah, you're right. Like, you don't know every song.
Totally.
Yeah.
Whenever I would hear like R&B type of like, I'd just fucking close it because I just don't know about R&B and
Well, and also it's like, I know that song. I've heard it around. I just don't know.
Sure.
I know it. I can recognize this bit from it.
Isn't that enough for you,
Hurdle? It's like I just don't happen to know the name of it.
Yeah.
It's, because Framed was, I think, better because, and it's, you know, it's different in that it was different frames of a movie that I think became more obvious as you went.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
whereas,
sure.
Yeah, just like longer snippets of a song you don't know.
You can at least have a guess at the movie one because you can go, well, I know of this movie that sort of looks like this
actor,
or is about this or whatever.
But then also, I think my sister Rosie her favorite one was Hurdle, but I think it's because she was extremely good at it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's a taste thing as well. And it's just a shame that a game that some people liked is being shut down.
Contexto, yeah. Good fun.
Until it gets bought by...
Big Context.
Yeah. Big Dictionary or whatever. Macquarie's going to buy it and shut it down.
So
had we all finished Dredge the last time we recorded? I don't think we had.
No, we'd only just started it. Yeah. I still haven't quite finished it, but...
I've finished it as well. Yeah.
I put a review up on our YouTube channel and on our website as the written version.
Yes.
With some bonus funny captions. So, yeah, you can go have a look at that if you want.
No spoilers in those reviews.
No. Yeah, and yeah. I don't want to do that with... We're going to do more of those with some games, but...
I think I'll write up... I'll play Dead Island 2 and probably do a write-up and a video of that as well.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, finished Dredge. Potentially game of the year. At this point,
yeah, it's yeah,
absolutely
it's a big
loved
year,
it.
So like, yeah, it's come along at a real like, damn, you got some competition here.
I reckon I've got five. I was saying this to you guys the other day. I reckon I've got five for my game of the year list already that I can't imagine changing.
Yeah,
I've got
five
at least
to
two,
six.
For sure.
There's like, so much solid stuff already.
Yep.
Dredge is great though. It sticks the landing and everything.
Really does.
There's multiple endings.
Yes.
Too, which I don't feel is giving any game away.
I don't even know.
Now let me describe in detail what they are.
I don't even know how you would get multiple endings, which is a great thing about it, I guess. Yeah.
Sure. It's fun. It's one of those up your street, Tommy, where it's 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah, in and out.
Almost outstays its ideas. Almost. Like, I talked about this, but each of the islands I found getting slightly less interesting as it went on.
I definitely think the last one is the most frustrating gameplay-wise. Mm.
I'm finding that at where I'm at. I'm at the third one, and I'm enjoying it, but I'm starting to feel that thing that you get in a game like this where it's like, I could drop off now, and I feel like I've... You know what I mean? I've done it all. Yeah. Like, I haven't, but, you know, you just start to feel that thing of like, okay, I know the loop now. Am I in the mood? You know what I mean? Am I in the mood for the loop at this particular section of time where I've got an hour? It's like, I know what I'm in for.
Each of the islands are also kind of probably each shorter than the last two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've not got long left.
I personally, didn't feel sick of this game at any point. Like, I love the loop that it presents. And it was almost like, it's a bonus that there is... some sort of narrative push.
Right.
Like,
well, you know what the other
which
thing...
Which I also enjoyed and I think hugely pays off by the conclusion.
I think the other thing about it too, which I just haven't had a chunk of time like this in the last week or so, I think it's a perfect nighttime game.
Yeah,
it's a perfect like evening, have your dinner, settle in.
Yes.
And I just haven't had a chunk of time where I'm just like sitting there from... 8 till midnight.
Just
dredging away. I've been doing little snippets of it in the middle of the day, which is kind of not the way to play it.
No, that's true. Yeah.
It's a good game, and I sort of hadn't realized that this is their first game.
Yeah.
These guys have made Black Salt games in New Zealand. So,
In New Zealand. That's
very
cool.
We should claim them like we have with Rusty and everyone else.
Yeah.
They're Aussie.
The company that I work for, Black Salt Games, and I'm the director.
Yeah.
That's what you meant by
and
claiming
I'm Dredge.
Them, right?
I love it.
I think Live Nation are going to bring them out for next year's comedy festival. Incredibly inside baseball stuff there, folks.
It really is.
I'm looking forward to their new Spelling Bee game that's coming up. I did see heaps of listeners saying that they've checked it out because we were so, you know, effusive with our praise, which I'm glad about. And I still think if you haven't played it, give it a crack. It genuinely will be probably for me top five of the year.
Yeah.
And this is, just a small studio first game and they've absolutely nailed this concept.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good game.
Yeah,
they should
put out a little demo. You could easily
apparently
cut that
there is
first little bit.
Apparently
there's a demo.
I can't remember what platform. It might be Steam or Switch, I think. But it's the first chapter.
Yeah, okay.
So don't know if it's still available. If it's Switch, it might be one of those ones that has come down. But there was a demo.
Right.
See if it's still available. But yeah, if you can drop $30 sight unseen, highly recommend it still. Having finished it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's simple enough and everything that I just don't... I can't see it being massively unappealing to almost anybody. I mean, that's a crazy thing to say.
But like, watch the trailer and you'll know.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that is going to do us for another week.
Yeah.
We will be back in a week's time. We'll be talking Advance Wars 1 plus 2 mm-hmm. Boot Camp.
Yes.
Is that what it... No, Rebooted.
Reboot Camp.
Reboot Camp.
Reboot Camp?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. What would that character sound like?
Oh, Bob Downs just walked into the room. Yes, I'll be playing that. I'll be playing Dead Island 2 as well and doing some kind of write-up, whether it's just first impressions or whatever. Keen for those. If anyone out there is not sure if they want to go in, we'll be talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
After that, next Friday is the new Jedi game as well.
Yes.
That's the thing I'm actually looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That'll be a good time.
That's like 145 gig install, apparently.
Yeah.
Oof.
Games are crazy these days.
Yeah.
You can do anything with computers.
Games really, other than, you know, in addition to the fact that some people would say it's a waste of your time, you really do feel like you waste time in the sense that, like, in my head, it's 3 weeks until Tears of the Kingdom, and I just don't really give a fuck what happens between now and then.
I'm really not thinking
about, like, living my life or, like, anything productive. It's literally just, like, I am just... Yeah, I don't really care what happens.
Just spinning the wheels.
I just want that day to be here. So it's like, man, you could do a lot in 3 weeks.
You could go on a holiday.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, it is like you could fill it. But if I could safely, medically have a coma, I might choose to for a bit now.
That's what I mean,
add those 3 weeks on later in life. If I could delete these three weeks but get them later.
A personal home cryo coffin.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I want that living room Disney shit.
Yeah.
That's Disney Plus.
Kingdom for a week and then I'm going to do that surgery again for Tears of the Kingdom 2. I'm just going to delete 6 years.
Just wake me up
years.
Every Zelda game. I'm Link.
I'm 43.
Yeah.
I come out of my little tomb. Before I can play it, I have to do a bunch of little weird challenges where I learn how to use a magnet and push a ball down a hill. And then it's like, all right, can I play the game now?
Tommy.
Guys, this is stuff from the game. This is all stuff from the game.
What game? We're talking about real life.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so we'll be back with more shit in the coming weeks.
Oh, by the way, Take On Me is in the Mario Brothers movie because it was number one on the day that the NES
I suggested that.
When we
talked about it, I was like, are these in here because they were the big movies from the big songs from the 80s?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So, yet again, I've had some fucking insight.
Feminists
dude.
Destroyed by logic.
Not what I was trying to do.
That's what you said.
That was an accident. I didn't mean to destroy feminists. I was just using pure logic.
We'll be back even sooner than next week if you jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/filthycasualspod. We are doing a spoiler review of Succession a week in arrears.
A watch party. Almost.
A watch party. We're talking it through. We're loving it.
Mm.
So if you're watching Succession and want to hear us talk about it, get on the Patreon. We're talking about other stuff that we've watched, you know, during the week as well.
An hour-ish.
Yeah.
We do a bunch of stuff that's not the spoiler chat and then we get into the sealed section.
Oh, and Barry as well. We'll chat about Barry.
Yeah.
And we're chucking other stuff up on there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good place to be content-wise and also it lets us even do this. So we massively appreciate everyone who's there.
I saw someone jump on and I think messaged us who came from Clicker. Being a listener of Filthy. So Patreon, it's a good podcast for anyone who likes any form of media.
A perfect gift idea.
We can't quite say that the monthly subscription where you get all the extra content is the price of a cup of coffee.
No.
But you know what? I reckon we'll be able to say that soon with the way things are going.
Yeah.
It's honestly not far off.
It's the price of a cup of coffee for two of us.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It's the price of an extra large coffee at an airport.
If you've got soy milk in there.
$1 million.
But if you can afford that once a month, we feel like, we give you a lot in return.
We try to. Mainly,
it allows us to do this as a job, which is really very nice. And we appreciate the people who are supporting us.
So get on there, filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find all the stuff that we're doing.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
This is Fonzie and Horizon.
Okay. Oh.
Aloy.
Oh. Nice.
I realized I just started saying it without any context too, which wouldn't have made sense.
You could have said Aloy. That's Fonzie in Horizon.
I should have. No, the best way to do it is in the middle.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.